Welcome to Hot Take. Today is September 4th, 2018, and my name is Donovan Jeska, an editor here at Android Guys. Joining me today are editor Andrew Myrick and writer Kian Riddick. How's it going, guys?
What's up? What's going on?
Well, we got a couple of topics here today. First one we're going to talk about is the Xiaomi Mi Mix 2S, which I reviewed. And the first thing that that really stood out to me about that phone was the really weird placement of the camera. It's in the lower right-hand corner instead of top center or top right or top left or literally anywhere other than lower right-hand corner. It's very odd. On the bright side,
how'd you like the phone?
how'd I like it? Other than that weird placement, I like it a lot. It's got a lovely ceramic back. It's got a Snapdragon 845. It's got... the model I have has 8 gigs of RAM. It's a pretty solid phone, man.
Ooh, 8 gigs of RAM is a beast.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It retails for just like $535, I think, for the 6 gig one. So it's kind of the same price point as the OnePlus series of phones.
So if you had $600, would you buy that, or would you buy the OnePlus 5T or 6 or whatever?
Man, the OnePlus is my baby, first of all, and second of all,
you can't lop him up like that.
I tried, fans.
and second of all, the OnePlus has a functioning, not messed up front camera, so I mean that's kind of important sometimes. It works if you want to take upside down selfies or pictures of your own neck fat.
That could probably get you a lot of likes on Instagram if you do it right.
Oh, absolutely. People are into that.
What just happened?
I don't know. What did
so
just happen?
So, how's the camera on the back? Like the dual 12 megapixel setup?
I like it. It's got good depth, good clarity, good colors. I mean, I'm not a photographer, so I don't really have anything technical to say about it, but for my purposes, it was very good.
That's good.
Did they have all the standard modes like portrait or pro mode or anything like that?
Yeah, Xiaomi loves throwing extra settings into their cameras, so I'd say it has more quote unquote modes, which are really just like software features, than most phone cameras do. If I'm not mistaken, it got a 97 on DxOMark, which was pretty good.
Very nice.
So I've never used a phone that has a ceramic like body.
Mm-hmm.
How's the scratch proof kind of stuff?
Well, it doesn't.
Do you feel like you need to have a case all the time?
I haven't used a case from the day that I got it, and it's still pretty much pristine. There's a couple fingerprints on it, but I'd say it's less of a fingerprint magnet than a glass back, and it seems to be a little bit more durable. I don't know. I like it. I like the feel of it. I like the appearance of it. Significantly
the
more.
Is very nice.
Yeah.
The appearance is very, very nice.
Yeah, I like it a lot better than the glass-backed phones that are around right now.
What are we looking like on the software side? Is it MIUI 9? I think that's what they're up to.
Yeah, it is. It's an Android 8 based MIUI. And let me tell you, MIUI has come a long way. Like, it used to be just kind of like a custom ROM that looked like an Apple, like an iPhone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's more just kind of an evolution of what Android currently is. They've really taken material design aesthetic to heart and kind of built on it rather than trying to do their own thing with it. And by their own thing, I mean do Apple's thing with it.
So, I'm looking at your review, and I see that you mentioned that they have gesture controls. Is this similar to what we've been seeing with, Android Pi and the iPhone X and iPhone 10 and stuff like that?
Well, Android Pi has that weird little, pill on the bottom, and that's their quote-unquote gesture navigation.
Yeah.
But the gesture nav on the Mi Mix 2S is closer to what you'd see on the OnePlus 6, where you just swipe up from the bottom of the screen, takes you home, swipe left or swipe right from the edges is back. Swipe up and hold is the recents. So it's a limited functionality, but it is surprisingly tactile and intuitive.
Is it fluid though? Like, if you make it, if you do that, swipe up and hold the C recents, does it actually do that action, or do you need to wait a little bit?
It's actually faster and more quicker, I guess you'd say, than the OnePlus 6, where you have to kind of hold it for a half a second. The Mi Mix, you really have to hold it for like, I don't know, a quarter second or a third of a second, and it feels really nice because you drag it up, and the second you hold it, it's already brought up the recents. As long as you're not just, you know, as long as you're not doing a full swipe, you're okay, basically.
Right.
So, do you think getting the 8 gig version is necessary, or?
It kind of depends on what you're doing. If you're looking to run Fortnite on max settings, then yeah, you might need 8 gigs. You might need that 945 Snapdragon. But if you're a casual user, I'd say the 6 gig is fine. I mean, really, a 4 gig is fine if you're just using a phone. But I think the 6 gig and the 8 gig really make it a little more future proof. You know, a year from now, it'll probably still be just as snappy as it was the day I got it.
Okay.
Because it isn't a Samsung phone.
I got one more question for you.
Go.
How's battery?
It's okay. It's not great. It's not wonderful, but it's pretty good. It's got I think it was a 3400 milliamp hour battery, which is a hair higher than what you see on the OnePlus and about on par with what you'll see with the other flagships. But it kind of seems like the MIUI skin handles battery drain a little bit better than what you'd see on an average flagship. So you might get a little bit better battery life. We lost you there for a second. Can you say again?
Oh, I was saying like the idle time is better for MIUI.
Yeah, when you just kind of leave it in your pocket when you're not using it, it drains very slowly. But that's kind of the same about a lot of phones. If you don't have a lot of background processes, it drains a lot slower than if you do.
Yeah.
Well,
these like Mi Mix phones have always like intrigued me, but I've never been able to like play with one myself.
Yeah, the like Xiaomi and Alcatel and some of those other Chinese brands, they always have really interesting looking phones and interesting concept phones, and we never really get to see them here in the States because we have so many other larger, more well-known companies, and there's kind of an inherent bias against Chinese companies, I'd say, in the States. So it was definitely
like Alcatel. They only bring their like budget phones, or we only use their budget phones, so we think of them as a budget company, not knowing that they have higher end stuff.
Right. Yeah, Xiaomi is a huge company, but here in the States, we're like, oh, what's that, right? Well, on that note, we'll switch over from the Xiaomi side of things to the perhaps most well-known company in the States, Google. Andrew, why don't you take that?
So it has been an interesting few weeks for Google, to say the least. We have seen 4 reviews written in Russian. literal pallets full of Pixel 3 XLs. And now we know when Google's going to show us everything that we already know. Google issued their invitations today for an event on October 9th. It's going to be taking place at 11 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Time. And they're moving the event from California, from their stomping grounds, and going to be having it up in New York on the 9th. And it's kind of interesting to see them make this move. We've talked before about the notches and yay, nay, why it looks like a little emoji and the like why they're rolling with the dual cameras on the front, sticking with the single camera on the back, but since then, we've learned about a possible Pixel stand, which is like, guessing it's just a wireless charging stand. Showing, and the leak from XDA showed off some screenshots of what your phone will look like when it's in the stand, giving you like shortcuts for showing you reminders, making a quick phone call, reading your messages, playing some music, you know, and stuff like that from a new Google Assistant screen. And then, was it this week? Last week, the Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL stopped through the FCC and showed us the model numbers of Geo 1 3A and Geo 1 3C, which follows up with the original Pixel, or the Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL. So we kind of have an idea that this is legit. It'll probably have Bluetooth LE in some form or fashion, a WPC charging mode, which could possibly mean wireless charging, which also lines up with the whole Pixel stand rumors and stuff like that.
Right.
But Google was not supposed to just be unveiling a new set of flagship smartphones. The company was also expected to show off its new Pixel Watch, supposedly with a new Snapdragon Wear processor. But a recent interview with Tom's Guide, Google confirmed that there will be no Pixel Watch this year. Miles Barr, who's Google's director of engineering for Wear OS, said, "To think of a one-size-fits-all watch, I don't think we're there yet, which is really disappointing to hear from Google directly.
Yeah, I mean, Google, so now Google that watches have been rumored for years now, and we never seem to get one.
But I mean, I agree. I don't feel like there's a one-size-fits-all watch, even though Apple wants to think there is.
Yeah, but I feel like... Go ahead, Andrew.
I feel like the Apple Watch is the closest thing, right now. But Android needs something, and I would be more interested to see why Google said no. Like, said we're not doing it yet.
I'm not sure. I know... like, if I use an Apple Watch sometimes only because that's the only watch I can use with Apple. If there are other options, of course, I'll probably go to them, but because I'm more of a design than like a rugged style. So if Google puts out or shows us a watch and they show us different options, like how they did, what was it, last year, 2 years ago with the LG Style and LG Ugly, whatever, and if they did something like that, then I would definitely be interested in the Pixel Watch, like a Pixel Watch Classic and a Pixel Watch Outdoorsy. So hopefully they do come back with something amazing.
I hope so. I mean, Google really needs to set the standard the same way that they do with Pixel phones. Pixel phones kind of set the baseline for what a modern Android phone should be. And I think Google needs to do the same thing with Android Wear, because right now, where smartwatches are just kind of floundering in the water.
Wait, so how do they... to play devil's advocate for a second, how does Google set the trend or set the standard for Android smartphones when they don't release their hardware until October? Because we see flagship Android smartphones, i.e. the Galaxy line, release in March and April. And doesn't that set the standard? Manufacturers focused on competing with Samsung versus trying to take on Google?
Yes, absolutely. And what I mean,
more so shipping out hardware to support their software. That's basically what Google's doing as far as setting a standard. They're showing you how you can make hardware that easily and effectively taps into the software that they're putting out.
Right. And what I mean by setting the standard, I don't mean that that's like the be-all, end-all of Android smartphones. What I mean is, when Google puts out a Pixel, they're saying, this is what an Android phone that uses this current software should be. And then the following year, in spring, Samsung releases their S line, improving upon what Google set out. Does that make sense?
That's fair. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's not so much as Google releasing late in the calendar year, as it is releasing early in Android's calendar.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, back to the Pixel event. Since they teased that it's going to be more than just Pixel phones, besides showing off Pixel Watch and, of course, the Pixel Stand, which is, I don't know how excited I can be about that. Do you guys think there will be other stuff?
I hope so. I mean, Andrew's been over here playing Mr. Tinfoil Hat. What do you think they could be bringing out, Andrew?
So, thank you for the segue.
Got you.
putting on my tinfoil hat, I think that there could be a very, like, maybe 5% chance, maybe probably less, that the phones that we've seen that have been leaked aren't actually the Pixel 3 XL that we're going to be getting.
No, Andrew.
That'd be really impressive.
I know. it's tinfoil hat time, but if Google wants to make a bang, like if they want to shock everybody, and which would in turn should result in sales, that's the way to do it. They placed all of these leaks. Like, okay. Even the one from last weekend where, like, the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL got left in a lift. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got to be well placed. And they have been. And there's been way too many of them. There's been, like, there are full written reviews of people who have the Pixel 3 XL in their hands right this second that have been published in other parts of the world. If Google comes out on October 9th and says, hey, yeah, so everything you saw, yeah, that's it. I'm going to be rather, I won't be surprised, but I'll be disappointed because I think Google could do better.
I will say, just to hype you up a little bit, on record, if Google comes out and says, that's not the phone, here's the phone, I will buy everything they announced that day.
You're going to buy everything anyway, Kian.
No, I'm not. That's not my plan. My plan is just to upgrade my phone. I don't care about the Pixel stand. I don't really care about the Pixel watch, honestly, just to tell you the truth. And, you know, I'm not looking for an upgrade in, like, a Chrome Pixel book.
Dude, I hope they release three different versions of the Pixel book so you can buy every single one. And then, in turn, I will buy one of those from you.
You know what is interesting about the phone being left in the lift is it was the driver that found it, recognized it from the leaks, and then reported it.
Right.
Like, how likely is that exactly? That seems kind of unlikely to me.
The percentage of that is when I was doing the research for the announcement post on Android Guys, like, the post from Android Police said that the guy actually uses a Pixel 2 or a Pixel 2 XL. So, like, he has an idea of what, like, a Google phone will look like.
Okay, that's fair.
But at the same time, the likelihood of it happening, the guy taking the time to take the pictures, send them to David Ruddick or whoever else over at AP, and then calling the guy who left it behind back and saying, hey, you left your phone here, sorry. Like,
I also took some pictures of it just in case.
Yeah, I leaked it, by the way.
All right. Like, that, it just seems something's off about that. The thing that is blowing me more than anything else is the palette of phones that we saw.
I'm still in the camp of, like, why hasn't Google shut the phones down? Like, I'm sure they can do that. There's no doubt in my mind that Google could, if they wanted to, shut these phones down.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But they didn't, and full reviews got written with the software intact.
That would be the ultimate trolling campaign. It'd be like just...
It'd be
meta.
Dude,
it'd be so meta.
It'd be so good. It'd be so good.
The question is, do we give Google that kind of credit for being that good? I mean, Google's pretty good, but do we give them that kind of credit?
If they really want to make a dent in the market, they have to.
They really do. And that would make a dent, too.
If they really want to fight Samsung and Apple, that's the way to... You got to do that shock and awe.
Yeah.
Because what they've been doing the last 2 years has not been
working. I'd be so much bigger as a Google fan than I am now if they did that. I don't want to let that hype get to me.
I might sell my iPhone X if they do that. I'm not going to go as far as what Keegan said of buying everything on launch day, but I might sell my iPhone X and my Apple Watch if they do that. Well, like, you know what? Cool. I'm in forever.
You don't need to buy every device because Keegan's going to have them. You can just buy them from him.
Yes,
yeah, but he's going to only buy one phone. I can't buy both phones. I got to buy one of my own.
No, he's going to buy all the devices, remember?
Not every single one, just like one of each. Calm
yeah.
down.
Yeah, one of each. So 1.3, 1.3 XL, exactly.
Right, the Pixel Watch, the Pixel Stand, the Pixel Book 1, 2, and 3, because there's going to be 3.
No. I'll buy one.
You're going to buy the Google Home Max 2.0. Yeah, your credit card company is going to be asking them fraudulent activity so quickly.
And he went on record saying that too, man. So he's dedicated now.
Yeah, he'll just have to send an email back with a copy of this podcast. But like, yeah.
You know what? I would hate for that. Like, we're watching the day of, and then they announce, like, oh, sorry, that was just a joke. Here's a real phone. I feel like the moment they say that, Andrew's going to send me a link, be like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, buzz,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, no. That's exactly what's going to happen. I'm just going to come in the chat, like, real quiet, like, hey, key in.
The 100 or so people who are listening to us are going to be like, oh, man, that poor guy's wallet.
Right. Or you need to pay your car payment. Try telling the bank behind your lease that you can't because you just bought everything that Google sells.
Sorry.
Yeah. I need to skip a month. Sorry. I'll get back to you.
The way my checking and my savings works, I don't really have that.
I don't have either one right now.
Right.
Anyhow, enough about Google and what Google may or may not do on October 9th. You know, since we already know what's going to happen. Or do we?
I knew that was coming. And I hate you for taking that from me.
Anyhow.
Let's talk about what Google already did.
Yeah, go for it, Keen.
So I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys who are listening are familiar with Rootless Pixel Launcher. It's an alternative home launcher. That some developers on XDA created, which is similar to the normal Pixel Launcher that everybody's used to, but it has a lot of tweaks. You can change your icon size, you can do gestures and whatnot. The developer behind the Rootless Pixel Launcher was finally able to put the launcher itself on the Play Store, and within a week, Google pulled it. Basically, they pulled it because once you install the launcher, it asks you if you want to install the separate APK that gives you the Google feed on the left side of your home screen, because you can't natively do that. You have to download an extra part.
Right.
So that's why they pulled it, because Google doesn't like when you tell your customers to download extra stuff, because they can't check the safety on that.
That's fair.
So the developer's kind of freaking out, just because if they ban, say, the package name, if they ban like the actual name of the app, then he would have to change the name of the app itself to get it put back on. And that would, like, lose everybody's settings and everybody's purchases. They would all revert. But he is hopeful that he's able to put the app back on. He just doesn't know when, because he's in school. But
so
he's trying.
There's a couple different layers to this. What is the relevance of the Rootless Pixel Launcher compared to, like, the standard launchers that come on Samsung phones, on OnePlus phones, on LG phones? What's the tangible benefit of having the Pixel Launcher?
You get a lot. You get more customization. You get more personability, and you get to stay closer to Google's Pixel Launcher. Because for somebody like me, I love the Pixel Launcher, and I actually love staying close to what Google puts out.
No,
for the most part.
No.
Yeah. So like, I don't try to deviate too much. Like, I'll use separate apps for stuff, but I always go back to, like, Messenger. I always go back to Hangouts. I always go back to Gmail and Inbox. Like, I don't try to divvy away too much. So if you like the actual Pixel Launcher and how that works, but you just want, you know, that bit more of personalization, that's why you would download something like Rootless. It's just close to stock, but with an additional kick.
So basically the tangible benefit for, like, an average consumer would be bringing the true, quote-unquote, the true Google experience, true Android experience, to their non-Google-branded smartphone, right? Is that fair to say?
I mean, yeah, because you could always get the Pixel Launcher on other phones. This, like I said, this is like Pixel Launcher Plus, basically.
Gotcha.
This
okay.
is Pixel Launcher on small steroids.
Small? Like healthy steroids, or?
Yeah. it does a little bit.
You know, you mentioned that you can get Pixel Launcher on any phone, but I don't think I can download it on my OnePlus, for example. I think the Pixel Launcher is just on Pixel phones. Andrew, can you confirm that?
Yeah, I mean, you can download the APK.
Right, sideload it, but this is on the Play Store. That's why it's relevant.
No, you can't download it from the Play Store.
Right, so that's why the rootless Pixel launcher is relevant to average consumers that don't have a Pixel phone, because they can
pull that. I remember, I've always had a Pixel. I haven't reviewed a phone in a while, except for this Huawei that I'm on right now, and I just checked, and yeah, you're right. You can't download the Pixel launcher.
That's Google fanboys will never know the struggle.
Why do I need to learn the struggle when I'm staying in Google's garden, you know? Nice garden with flowers everywhere. It's so peaceful here.
Now, you mentioned that the reason the rootless Pixel launcher was removed was because the developer basically asked you to download a second APK that was not contained on the Play Store and therefore not verified by Google. But, correct. You know, let me just borrow Andrew's tinfoil hat here for a second. Could this be...
No, it's mine.
I'm still going to borrow it. You can have it back in a second. Could this be Google just protecting the Pixel brand, not wanting to have Pixel launcher on other phones as an incentive to make you buy a Pixel? Is that a possibility, you think?
I don't think so, just because there's other launchers like Action Launcher and Launch Air Launcher. Those are on the Play Store for anybody to download. So, and those are, they can be, you know, Pixel launcher like launchers. So I don't think it's Google necessarily protecting the Pixel brand. I actually do think it's Google trying to be as secure as possible with Play Store downloads, just because this would probably get a lot more popular, especially because a lot of outlets were talking about it. So they were probably seeing a lot of downloads happening, mm-hmm. which is most likely why Google ended up saying, hey, this can't belong here, just because it got so much press because it was only out for a week.
Right.
And big names are already talking about it.
Yeah, I can see your point, but also in a shocking turn of events, the Google fanboy thinks Google can do no wrong.
I mean,
I think it's a little bit different, because like with Nova Launch Air and Action, like you can still get the side swipe to access Google Now or whatever mm-hmm. the Google feed that is, but they don't prompt you in the app to install it. Like they don't have a prompt inside the app, or I thought
Action or Nova Launcher does that.
Nova that makes you download, make you download and sideload an APK, but they're still on the App Store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's different. It's not like when I don't, because I've used Rootless for a long time. Like I've ever since he released it, I think last year, mm-hmm. On GitHub or whatever, and I don't even use Nova anymore because of. But I don't think Nova, like, I don't think it makes you do that. I don't think it prompts you when you first open the app, hey, download this if you want the Google feed.
Right, it doesn't. You have to search for the functionality. You have to be like, okay, I want the Google Now integration, therefore it's going to link me to this third-party site to download the APK.
Right, and I think Action does the same thing. I'm 100% sure about
isn't it like in your settings that you have to, like, search for it? Because that could be the difference, because... With Rootless, it was a pop-up. Like, as soon as you downloaded it, it popped up and said, you know, this isn't downloaded. It couldn't be found, so do you want to download the latest version? Like, it wasn't just you search for it. It was actually you. It popped up randomly as soon as you installed the app. So I think that was the whole issue.
Makes sense.
It wasn't it wasn't like you just allowed somebody to go download an app. It was like you prompted somebody to say to download a new app.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, I don't know. I mean, people should just buy Pixel. That would just solve all their problems.
It would solve all the problems. And when something more comes out,
there's an wall.
Yeah,
it's unlocked, Andrew. Just buy it straight out.
I don't have $800-$900 to spend like that. I need to pay $250 down and then break it up.
You have an iPhone 10 though.
Yeah, and I paid $250 down, and I paid $30-something a month. Suck on that.
Always with the excuses, Andrew. It's okay.
Well, on that note, before we get into a full blown brawl here, that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard here today, please consider subscribing on Google Play Music, iTunes, Pocket Casts, or anywhere else you can find podcasts. Please also be sure to head over to AndroidGuys.com and click on the link for this podcast. Not only do we post the sources for all our stories, but you can also find out more information on our sponsor, Blue Microphones. If you like how we sound, you should head over to the post for this podcast to get a 20% discount code. We love our Blue Microphones, and we're not alone. Blue is an award-winning company and the driving force behind professional musicians, internet creators, and countless elite gaming teams and Twitch streamers. Streamers. Some of them scream. Most of them don't. They're streamers. Their Blue Yeti USB mic is the internet's most popular microphone. Me and Andrew are currently using those. Kian is currently telepodcasting from his phone. For Andrew and Kian, I'm Donovan Jeska. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.